God's grace and his peace to you from our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our text for today is coming from our Old Testament reading from Ruth chapter 1. The title of today's message are three letters being put together, OMG. And yes, OMG is one of those TLAs, three-letter acronyms. And I will admit, in the tech world, some people might utilize OMG as Object Management Group. But I'm going to venture to guess, I'll do a little bit of assumption here, that if you've used OMG in a text message or email, you probably didn't use it as Object Management Group. You might have used it as, oh my God. Is there anything sacred about those three letters or that phrase? Well, if we may remember the second commandment a little bit, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Luther writes, we should fear and love God so that we do not curse, swear, use satanic arts, lie, or deceive by his name, but call upon it in every trouble, pray, praise, and give thanks. OMG, even though it is widely used in today's world as a way of sort of saying, wow, isn't this something spectacular, good, bad, indifferent? When it gets down to the thought, does it weaken how we view God? Some people use this phrase almost with every email, text message, or almost every spoken word. Now we have to ask, does it make a difference? Well, what does the name of God do for you? Let's go back for a moment to our baptism, when God's name was put upon us through water and the Word. God's name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit were put upon us in that name. And it's because of that name we have life. It is because of that name we have salvation. So now if I could beg the question just a little bit differently, do you value that life? Do you value that salvation that God has given you through his name? If you devalue it, meaning you don't hold it in high esteem, then you really don't care about the life and salvation that are given to you through Christ Jesus. But if you value it, if you remember your baptism and the need for your baptism to draw you into Christ's family so that you can be participants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ upon his death and resurrection for the forgiveness of sins, and in that participation you have life and life eternal, if you understand that as your life linked to eternity, you might hang on to that name of God very closely. The reason why I use the title OMG is not to pick on any particular person here, but to get to our text. You see, in Ruth, you could have used the quote-unquote OMG concept, but Ruth did not. So let me do just a little bit of backtracking here with what's going on in Ruth. Our Old Testament reading may not have made too much sense to us in today's world because we've changed things in our lifestyle. But back in the Old Testament, I need to bring something back to what they did. I'm not making an argument for this. I'm just saying this is how they did things back then. During the time of the Old Testament, women were considered to be property. So when a man contracted into a marriage, the wife became his property. So when the husband dies, the wife remains part of that husband's family to be then utilized by the husband's family. So now we have Naomi having two sons. Her husband dies. Okay. She is now matriarch of that family, but when her sons die, she now is really the matriarch of the family. And so now what do you do with those two daughter-in-laws now? She really doesn't need them. She's going to return back home. So she's going to send the daughter-in-laws back to their family of origin, back to their relatives. And in doing so, she'd be doing the right thing. She's going to go back to her family, send the girls back to their family. Verse 15, Orpah apparently goes back. Ruth doesn't. And so in verse 15, she says, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods." So going back to the people, being part of that people, means you also pick up that religion. Return after your sister-in-law, she says. In one essence, this is a command, so to speak, by the matriarch of the family. You listen to those commands. When the matriarch speaks, you listen. Plain, simple, to the point. But Ruth says in verse 16, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you." And embedded in those words, it almost seems to be an idea that, you know, if you push me hard enough, if this is really what you want, I will obey the great matriarch. But where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Now this has become more than just, I want to take care of you, Naomi, because I think you're a great person. This is called, no, I'm going to be with you. I'm part of your family. What you believe, I believe. Your God is now my God. What's really interesting about that is that Naomi has already named that God has somewhat abandoned her. To lose her husband and to lose her sons basically would put her in poverty for the rest of her life. She'd be having to entrust herself into the generosity of other people. She had no way to sustain a living. And to go back, in one essence, would kind of go back to a little bit of shame. You know, you left your people with a lot of riches, a lot of wealth. Now you're coming back in poverty. Ruth was basically saying, it doesn't matter. Why? Somewhere down the line, along the lines, we're not too sure how the Holy Spirit worked that faith within Ruth. She was going to cling on to Naomi. She was going to cling on to the Lord, the people, the God of Israel, even when it seemed like the God of Israel wasn't necessarily blessing Naomi. It didn't matter. She was still going to hang on to that God. She had a very good understanding of what the name of God would do, even though she couldn't see it in front of her eyes. She would only see poverty in front of her eyes, but yet that faith still remained. Where Naomi went, she was going to go. She was going to continue to trust into the God of Israel. Ruth here would have a very high view of that name of God and understood that name of God meant life, even though she didn't necessarily see that life. Orpah took the opposite road. She was going to take the second chance in life, try to rebuild her life, and who would blame her? But Ruth saw something more. The name of God. That's the difference. In our lives, we have to make a very similar decision as Ruth and Orpah did. Are we truly going to trust that name of God that was placed upon us at our baptism? Are we truly going to call upon the name of God in times of trouble? Praise Him. Give thanks. Is that really going to make a difference in our lives, or are we going to toss it aside? No one would blame Orpah for tossing aside the name of God and trying to build a better life for her this side on earth. But Ruth, especially if you read the rest of the book, chose the wiser. She somehow was able to see life being given in the name of God. So what happened to Ruth? Let me just give you a quick synopsis. They eventually arrived to the land, to God's people. She was working hard. She eventually gets remarried. And she eventually has a child. by the way, that child now is in the lineage of King David and our Savior Jesus Christ. Isn't it interesting? Another teaching point here in Ruth. God takes an outsider, so to speak, and brings him into his family. So much so that this outsider is even now in the lineage of Christ. His own son is going to be born into this outsider's line. What does that say to us today? That no matter how many sins we have committed, no matter how many times we have gone astray, God's name is placed upon us, God still wants us to be in his family line. We are not born into the family line, but by adoption, through baptism. In that precious name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are now put into that family line of God. And now do we treasure it? Now do we love it? Do we hold it in high esteem, or we take it for granted? I will admit, we live in a world where people would rather chase after things of this world instead of the things of God. Would rather serve themselves instead of serving others. Today is a perfect day to also remember the women of the Lutheran Women's Missionary League. Because they take that mindset of today's society and they say, no, we're not going to be followers of Oprah. We're going to be followers of Ruth. We're going to hang on to that name of God. We're going to cherish it. And we're going to serve others. And by doing so, we're also serving God. Ruth is taking care of Naomi. And we're serving the larger kingdom of God also. Yesterday, we had the opportunity here at Trinity to host the LWML group here in Zone 10. And they had an interesting service project that really struck my fancy. It was how they were going to take those plastic grocery bags and crochet them into mats for the homeless. And I'm thinking, you know how many hours it takes to cut the bags? How many hours it takes to crochet those bags? And are those homeless really going to appreciate it? Maybe, maybe not. But wouldn't it be easier in the back of my mind? I'm thinking, why don't we just go ahead and buy some commercial mats for them? Maybe I also missed the point about serving, about giving up of one's time for somebody else. Yeah, we can always take the easier way of life. But sometimes it's even harder to say, this I will do. I will serve others. I will help others with my own hands, with my own skill. It's more than just writing a check. It's giving of myself. And by the way, that is what the LWML do. They do not just write checks, they give of themselves. Following the same model of Ruth and our own Savior Jesus Christ. As he chooses to redeem humanity, does not want to sit there and just wave a magic wand and say, let your sins be gone, but does what? Takes on human flesh and blood and makes his dwelling among us. Among sinners. That is the name of the God we bear. A God who says, you are so important. I will come on and take on flesh and blood and die in your behalf. You are so important. I will redeem you by suffering and being crucified. You are so important. And God says, I will give you my own name that you may bear it. Upon your forehead, as you were baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God has indeed given you his name. A name of life, a name of salvation, a name that's filled with love and forgiveness for you to receive as a precious gift and also as an opportunity. As you cherish this gift with all your heart, soul, and strength, you also look for opportunities to serve, to share that name. That's why the women of the LWML in this area will be recycling those grocery bags into mats for the homeless, besides other projects, because they know the importance of the name they bear, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is the name of God for life and for salvation. So this day we give great praise and thanks to God. As he raised up Ruth to take care of Naomi, brought Ruth to his own family. Through Ruth's own line, we have David and Christ as a beautiful example of what happens when God touches us with his name, so that we can also receive the same forgiveness, be adopted into the same family, and to serve one another with the same love and zeal and forgiveness that Ruth served Naomi. We rejoice and are glad that we have a God who loves us so much, he is willing to give us his name. In his name, amen. Now the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding will continue to guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.